Well, Lent starts today, and we have a Lenten companion that Jason Cans has his hand on. Good morning.
Good morning.
11 below. It still felt pretty cold. I know it's 11 below, and you go, we've had 20 below, but it's still pretty cold out there this morning. So.
Yeah, there was, I don't know if you saw, there's that couple who does these videos. Holderness family, and they did one about northern people versus southern people dealing with the cold, and it was really funny. The northern person kind of doing the, well, you know, it's almost t-shirt weather again, and I was like, yeah, I just said that same thing.
Right, yeah, no, people with, my wife talked about going to Arizona with her sister, you know, 25 years ago, and arriving relatively, you know, and it was like the woman was freezing, and you know, they're like t-shirt and shorts, so we have a different perspective. And so I put Facebook on here in the studio, kind of getting our screens and windows up. And the first post I see is from this guy, Jason Cans, and it says, I have a confession. I love Dairy Girls. I mean, I really, really enjoy it. So this is a show. I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, so Dairy Girls is a comedy that came out of Northern Ireland. And And it probably is a confession because a lot of the language in it is pretty crude. There's no violence, there's no nudity or anything like that. But it's this four teenage girls and a teenage boy who are friends in the 90s around the time of the Civil War in Ireland. And so it was, but it's super funny.
Okay.
It's definitely not for everyone.
Yeah. All right. Well, good to give that disclaimer, I guess.
Yeah.
It's weird because with all the streaming, there's more choices in terms of what people watch than ever, isn't there?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was thinking about that last night. I started watching it for the third time last night, even though there is so much stuff out there.
I know. I hear you.
All
right, so Lent starts today. Tell us the book that you're going to kind of be summing up for us, because the devotions run a little long. So
the book is A Path to Wholeness, A Lenten Companion by a guy named Russell Levinson, and he actually just wrote it last year. It's this desire for wholeness. And today's, which is, it's called Seeing Death.
And you know what? Let's just remind people every day, I think a great claim for this, because this really helps, is that sin disintegrates, so we want to be integrated. I just think that's a great reminder for people.
Yes, sin disintegrates, and we want to be integrated people.
Yeah.
You know, and on Ash Wednesday, it's a reminder of our death. And so the author is kind of starting out talking about the Black Death or the plague in the mid-1600s and how people would try and do things to try and keep death at bay, but they couldn't until they figured out what was really going on, and how even still we are really looking for things to, you know, like tokens or the magic pill to help us be healthy and safe. And yet he says, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, which is a classic Ash Wednesday phrase. And he says, you know, we are all terminally ill. None of us can escape the power of the grave. And we should really strive to understand that about ourselves, that we are, have this terminal condition, and yet we are all called to understand what Christ has done for us, you know, so understanding the cross, which we look forward to, 40 days, 38 days from now, but in the meantime, living lives of peace and harmony. And he concludes here by saying, many see death as an enemy to be avoided, but perhaps it can be a companion along life's journey to remind us to make the most and the best of it. And it was just a really good reminder of this constant disintegration that exists all around us.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Go ahead and finish up.
Oh, I was just going to say, he asked this question, you know, if there was a phrase you would like to be remembered by, what would it be?
Mm.
And again, I think for me, it's that idea of striving toward wholeness.
Mm. Yeah, for sure, and you probably will be. But I think when it comes to death, I love it's hard to improve on a lot of things that Dallas Willard said. And he talked about, and he passed in 2013, but he's just like, I'm not so sure this idea that he would pass into the next life and that he wouldn't know it for a while. I mean, there is a sense, Richard Swenson right. talks about every Christian lives in two worlds. We live in this physical, visible world, but we're also seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And so, to me, I marvel at the Dallas Willard idea that just be so, that you're here and then you're there, and then you don't even realize it right away. So
when you and I were in Texas together, I talked to Mimi Dixon about that, and she mm-hmm. was good friends with Dallas Willard. And she had said that same thing, that after he died, she wondered whether that was his experience, because she said, he really believed that there's just this natural passing, and we may not know that it's happened until all of a sudden we look and say, oh, my goodness, I'm here, And
I got to tell you, I close it out here. I've got a former pastor from the Twin Cities. I've interviewed him a couple of times in the past. His daughter came out of heroin addiction, and we did an interview that he turned into a chapter in a book he did on Not Alone for parents of kids that are addicted to drugs and alcohol. And now he's asked for, he had another friend that apparently I interviewed him and her, and I think she had lost her legs. And so he wants that interview. So I'm digging into the archives of 24 years of talk, and he doesn't remember the year with the interview. I'm searching, but it's really kind of, having said that, I mean, coming across like, oh, this is the interview I did with Brennan Manning in 1996. And I know there's a Dallas Willard interview. So anyhow, it's just a good trip down memory lane. So
absolutely.
All right, friend. Well, I'd like to share some of those interviews with you sometime. So, all right.
I would love to hear them.
I bet you would. So going a little on the personal side here this morning, Caleb, and it seems interesting since at one point yesterday, I think around 8:15, we were talking about questions to ask before you get married, and we landed on love languages, and it turned out you and I share words of affirmation, and we noted that our wives acts of service.
It was so great of you to think of that segment. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, my wife gave me a Valentine's card, and it came yesterday, and we had given our kids like small Valentine's gifts and cards on Sunday, and so I just want to share it because the front says the things you do, the love you give, the husband you are, and see if you can guess what her love language is.
Okay.
Yeah. So she says, Mark Halverson, I have so many reasons to be thankful for you. Happy Valentine's Day. And these are the ones: making coffee, mowing the lawn, shoveling the driveway, doing the laundry, washing the dishes, taxiing the kids, running errands in the cold, making phone calls, walking the dogs, especially in the cold.
The cold has come up twice.
And so many other things. So I'm like, I did comment to her. I know that love language clearly.
I can see that one as well.
Yeah, right. It's all about the acts of service.
There you go. Well, you know what? You know you're doing something right then.
Very imperfect, but anyhow.
It's that time of the week, Halvo, where we learn to laugh at ourselves a little bit and the things that annoy us and just make us go, we're trying to help with that a little bit. And so we've surveyed you, and you're always welcome to weigh in on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page or 396-1670. What peeves you? What is a little pet peeve that you say, man, that just really gets my goat? And then we turn it into a song. We call it Pet Peeves Put to Music. And it's a highlight of my week, and hopefully for a few others out there as well.
I think it is.
So this one comes from Penny, and Penny said that she her pet peeve is when people leave their shopping carts out in the parking lot. And this is something that's very close to my heart, Penny, as well, because I've said maybe only on the air once or twice, but to others as well, that I can tell a lot about you by three things: how you interact with the very young, how you interact with the very old, and what you do with your shopping cart when you're done with it. So without further ado, for Penny this morning, your pet peeve put to music. Penny really wishes that folks would get a grip and please return your cart when you are on a shopping trip. This pandemic of laziness, she sees it every day. So why not take three extra steps and put that thing away? The extra cardio might actually do you some good. Fast food nation, am I right? When you're getting groceries or shopping at Walmart, You reveal your character by where you leave your cart. You've loaded up your items, so why not be a pal and herd those silver buffalo into their cart corral?
Into their corral.
Just put it back! For Penny this morning.
I think these songs are therapy for you. You're able to vent
probably,
your spleen.
Maybe just a little bit. Yeah, some right. of these I relate to quite often. Well, there was a moment yesterday in my household, a special moment for my second child, for Cooper, who's 5 years old, turning six in the middle of March. And I got a text and a picture from my wife, and she said, first tooth is out, and it's Cooper smiling, and he's holding a little glass jar with his first tooth that he lost.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's great. And
so, rite of passage.
Yeah, and so I called him, and he was super excited about losing his tooth and said I think he used some floss to help get it out. And yeah, so big moment. And so when I got home, I don't know how everybody feels about this, but, you know, I grew up, we talked about the tooth fairy, right? Mm-hmm. The tooth fairy brings you a little something. You
sure.
put your tooth in the envelope, and then the envelope disappears, and the tooth fairy brings you a little something. And so I was talking to Cooper about that, about, you know, what the tooth fairy might bring him. And so he goes to bed last night, and the tooth was in an envelope. I know that. And that's what I remember last. And then I woke up with a start this morning a little before 6 a.m., and I thought, this is his first tooth, and the tooth fairy didn't come, thinking, not that, oh, it's, you know, my wife was going to do it. I just figured, hey, we both fell asleep early, probably both forgot about that. And so I woke up with that, and I, all of a sudden, laser focus. Dad has a laser focus. I am going to make sure that my child's
sure.
first tooth lost is not a bad experience, that the tooth fairy does, in fact, come and remove that envelope with the tooth from underneath his pillow and leave something in its place. And I don't know what the going rate is. I mean, it was always a quarter when I was growing up, and I kind of figured, well, I have a quarter, and we talked a little bit about treats the night before, and so I thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a little chocolate granola bar, and I'm going to tape a quarter onto that so he'll get a treat and a quarter, because he doesn't really understand or
yeah.
comprehend a whole bunch about money, but at least it's just that something's there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting it under his pillow, and he kind of wakes up, and I'm like, you're just, sorry. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm checking on you.
Go to sleep.
And so I cannot find the envelope. I cannot find the envelope with the tooth. And so I'm putting the gift there, but I cannot find the envelope. And so I wake my wife up, which I did not intend to do. I thought it was just going to be Dad's the hero. Dad remembered
yeah.
this. And I wake my wife up, and I said, where's his tooth? Like, I put the thing under there. Where's his tooth? She's like, don't. And I said, why? And she said, he is afraid of the tooth fairy coming into his room at night. And I said, oh, dear. I did not think about this. And that is why the envelope was not there.
Aha.
So I'm saying this on the air right now. So as my little guy is listening, if you woke up to that granola bar and that shiny little quarter underneath your pillow, it was not the tooth fairy, buddy. It was not. It was a daddy who loves you very, very much. And, yeah, daddy's the tooth fairy, but not wearing the tutu. I just do the best I can in my PJ pants.
Can't help but think about Rock and the Tooth Fairy movie. Cute film on the whole deal. So,
as we promised before, here's that brand new song from Toby Mac. It's called Help Is On The Way. I think I needed some
yes.
help as a parent.
Rick also checking in saying, have you ever seen Rock and the Tooth Fairy? So it is good if you want to have some fun with that, talking about the Tooth Fairy. So.
Indeed, yeah. And apparently, things turned out pretty well back
good.
In my house, too.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, apparently Cooper woke up and was like, hey, it worked.
He found it.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
then after I spoiled the surprise, thought it was kind of funny that his big old 6'1 daddy is the one who was flitting around his room in the middle of the night, not the aforementioned
yes,
Tooth Fairy.
Exactly.
Well, hey, while there were only 250 fans in attendance at last night's Milwaukee Bucks game, guard Pat Connaughton tells the Bucks Radio Network, hey, they made a difference.
We love our fans. We love the energy that they bring on a nightly basis, obviously. There was only, you know, a few of them there tonight, but a few of them is better than none. And for us, we want to continue to build upon the culture that we've built over the last 2 years.
So let me tell you just a real quick story about Pat Connaughton. He went off for 20 points last night and really was on fire in the first half. And it turns out that the Bucks flagship station, WTMJ, is owned by Good Karma Brands. And one of the people that works there is Tommy. Tommy and his partner had a little boy named Miles who was born a year ago yesterday, but it turned out Miles only made it 12 days before he left us way too soon. Well, over the whole last year, Pat Connaughton has been writing on his sneakers, and again last night, Fly High Little Guy. So on the anniversary of Miles' 1 year since his birth, Pat, a tremendous game last night. So I don't know what you think about professional athletes, but I thought that was pretty touching.
Pat Connaughton's a pretty neat guy.
Well, I think almost every kid has heard a story from either a parent or grandparent about, you know, when I was a kid, I used to walk 12 miles to school uphill both ways.
Both ways. That's the importance.
Well, that comes to mind with this story about a 90-year-old walking not two, not four, but 6 miles through snow, all for a COVID vaccination.
Wow.
This is actually the worst blizzard that I've actually experienced.
A 90-year-old Seattle woman making headlines after walking 6 miles through nearly a foot of snow to get her first dose of the coronavirus vaccine.
I have my scarf. I've got my wool coat.
Fran Goldman tells the Seattle Times she scheduled her Sunday vaccination appointment last week, not knowing that a major snowstorm was on the way. When Sunday morning came, this is why they're called the greatest generation.
Yes.
She pulled on her snow boots and multiple jackets and set out from her home to walk 3 miles to Seattle Children's Hospital.
The snow gets so high, you got to go up there and scrape it off.
Yeah. 3 miles to Seattle Children's Hospital for an appointment, and then 3 miles back home.
That's not safe, and yet she's like, you know what, I'm gonna go out in this.
There could be some ice around, too.
Probably.
To get a vaccine, but she could have died in the blizzard.
Wow.
She says
that is strength there.
That is amazing. Goldman says she'd been making multiple calls every single day and scouring the internet just to find an available appointment slot. I've been on my mom. When are you going to get the vaccine? I can tell you it's in my head. March 4th. She's got an appointment. But I'm like, Mom, like a week ago, they've been offering it at Walgreens. She's like, I've got my appointment. But she's not going to have to walk 3 miles there and back in the snow.
Here's the other thing that I'm thinking I may have buried, pun intended, here in the snowfall aspect of this story. She had an appointment, and she said, I'm going to keep that appointment.
Yes.
I respect others' time, and I will be there, and I will be on time.
Wow.
Come snow or sleet or gale force winds or snowstorm, I'm going to be there.
And,
respect.
She says she received her first dose of the vaccine. She says she can't wait to hold her great-grandchildren again.
Very cool.